Luke chapter 1, the birth of Jesus foretold, and we continue with that. And this starts with, "And Mary said," but it's often referred to as Mary's song, her response to the birth foretold and the good news. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 45, "And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." So Mary has received the good news of great joy, and she's prayerfully reflecting on that, what God is doing. And embedded in what she says here, we see that Mary's life has hurts and struggles and challenges. She refers to her humble, and so Mary has problems, has struggles like us, personal struggles, sense of weakness and frailty. Mary has a sense of her nation. The bigger problems of life, right? A lot of her song here is about the nation of Israel and their oppression. They're God's chosen people. What's happened to us? We're under the thumb of a power that isn't godly. And so embedded here are the troubles and the trials and the hurts and the struggles that Mary experiences. Nevertheless, how does she begin? "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I'm going through these things in my present reality, and yet my soul glorifies the Lord because of. That last line, promise. Because of his promise, because of this message that has been given, this good news, the reality of what God is doing, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Two things happening at the same time: struggles, trials, weight, burdens, and at the same time, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. On the Lord. On He. The beginning of each line, right? "For He, the Mighty One, has. His mercy extends. He has. He has. He has. He has. He has." We can get into "me has," right? "Me has. Me has. Me has. Me has. Mary." Mary's like, "I'm not doing me has. I'm doing he has. He has." and because he has. Even in the midst of my me has, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has. He has. Is that our Christmas proclamation? He has. Does our soul glorify the Lord? Does our spirit rejoice in God, my Savior? Is that our aim? Is that what we're aiming for this Christmas? Like Mary's aim here to glorify the Lord. Can we make that our aim? We just sang about that, didn't we? The words of the songs that we sang had those realities and those themes in them. My soul glorifies. My soul glorifies. What does it mean to glorify? Adoring, right? Adoring. To glorify means to adorn. To glorify means to make beautiful. That's what we do, right? That's what we do. In this season of anticipation, of celebration, we adorn, don't we? We make beautiful our spaces, our places, our gathering, our tables. Our Christmas table is going to be beautiful, isn't it? It's going to be adorned with greens and reds, and even we're going to even decorate the food, right? We're going to garnish. We're going to beautify. To glorify means to beautify. Adorn, praise, glorify the Lord. Make beautiful. Make the Lord beautiful. To glorify. To glorify means to make bold. To make bold, to make weighty. To glorify is to recognize the weight and the honor and the majesty of the Lord. The Psalms do a good job of describing this means of glorifying the Lord. Psalm 96, verse 8 says, ascribe. It's kind of a light word, isn't it? Ascribe, not a heavy word. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, the weight due his name, the respect. Psalm 29 refers to the voice, powerful, majestic realities. The voice of the Lord is powerful, thunders, shakes the desert, twists the oaks. The voice of the Lord is majestic. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Make him bold, honor, weighty, reverence. Philippians chapter 2, and God gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, we just sang it, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord, makes him bold and feels the weight and the honor and the reverence of his name, of his person, such that such that I fall to my knees in worship. Fall to my knees in worship. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Thinly, lightly, tritely, oh my! No, his name drives us to our knees in honor, in reverence, bold, in honor, in respect. My soul glorifies the Lord, makes beautiful, makes bold, it makes big. Big. Mary's song in Latin, I guess it's the word Magnificat. Who knows Latin, right? Magnificat, which means magnify. Magnify. Make the Lord big. Magnify his name. Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Isaiah 6, verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Expansive, massive, magnified, amplified. The heavens declare the glory of God. You like magnifying? That's fun, isn't it? I went through my magnification phase. You get the cool lens. I want to magnify things, right? I mean, it's fun. It points somewhere too, right? Right, the heavens declare. This is a declaration, an amplification, a magnification of what and who God is. Him big. Mary, I'm gonna make my Lord big. Glorify him. Make that our aim, our goal. Me has? Oh, he has. Look what he has done. In our words, in our ways, through our lives, we make him beautiful. We make him big, bold, honored, glorious. We magnify him. And my soul makes him beautiful, makes him bold, makes him big. My soul glorifies the Lord. I'm full of his reality. And oh, there's a connector there. And then what? Oh, and my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. Do you find your soul rejoicing when you fix your mind and your heart on me has? Man, me has that problem. Man, me has that going on. Me has that. Down the line we go. Have you experienced your spirit rejoicing as you fill your being with you, with self? I don't. Mary's just like us. She's full of hurts, internal, external, relational, life. but as and therefore my spirit rejoices because it's in God my Savior. That's the joy. That's the connection. As we magnify him, as we make Jesus beautiful, bold, and big, the bigger our joy, right? The bigger our joy. I saw a headline this week. It was, you know, opening up newsletters and things. This headline popped. Why are we so unhappy? You know, that's interesting. Why are we so unhappy? And so I just read a little bit, and then I decided to copy and paste that headline into the broader search, right? And also, I mean, that is a headline, a news article, a journal article that shows up everywhere. Why are we so unhappy? Apparently, it's a pursuit that a lot of people are interested in because it is a pervasive reality. Why does my spirit not rejoice? Because it's in something else. In self. And so joy is at a minimum. An expert on happiness uncovers a worrying trend. Didn't know there was an expert on happiness, but they're out there. Experts on happiness. Here it is. Around the world, young people have been reporting increasing unhappiness. Listen to what Fortune reports. This is this year. I'm not digging back into the 20s or any of the world wars, which this is now. 2025, Fortune. Gen Z is so miserable. A little bit of unrejoicing. Researchers. This is like unrejoicing that a little bit of the experts on happiness. And so the experts say, you know, the problem is that the mind is everything. And there's these negative thought patterns, negativity. The mind is everything. We get thinking about these negatives. So what do? Well, obviously, we try to help ourselves, right? We go to self-help, right? Isn't that the logical thing to do? Not a lot of joy. I got to fix myself. So what have we created this year? A multi-billion dollar self-help. Self-help industry. It's good to care for yourself, right? That's good. But to fixate, to self-help doesn't seem to be working. So we've got a $14 billion 2025 self-help book industry. And what does that ultimately do? It magnifies my problems. As I look in, as I self-help and fixate on me has, my joy diminishes, my unjoy amplifies. And so is it surprising that the Hebrews book that we've been going through the last month or so, isn't it surprising then that the core theme of that whole letter is fix your thoughts on Jesus? Oh, like Mary. Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Romans 12:1-2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Christmas, we see, right? See stuff. So we fix our eyes not, but what is unseen for what is seen is temporary. It's a quick happy, but it's not a sustained joy. So fix your eyes on what is unseen, on what is eternal. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Make him big. Fill your minds with him. Set your thoughts on things above, not on earthly things. I don't know, maybe some of you remember Charlie Brown had that. You know, he was frustrated, right? Oh, season is so loud and there's stuff and commercialization, all. Right, Charlie Brown. Gotta watch that. And so, I mean, what did Linus do? Came out on stage, the spotlight, and recited Luke, right? Luke 1. I bring you tidings of great joy. May that be our aim. Maybe this season we can strive and focus on making him bold, making him big in our lives, and then experience a big joy so that, like Mary, we can rejoice in God our Savior, rather than being preoccupied and frustrated and racked with anxiety over seeing things and stuff. Let's make Jesus big in our lives, through our words, our thoughts, as we fix our eyes on him. Let's pray. Lord God, you are the source. Hebrews 1, you are the source. You are our Savior. You are life. And so you invite us to fix our eyes and our minds on you, because you want the best for us. When we love someone, we want the best for them. That's why we want to buy good gifts for those we love. And you have given us the best gift, your very life. And so may that preoccupy our energy and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.